Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was getting ready for this message the past couple of weeks, I had the great opportunity to look all around me and see lots of trees, to see a few mountains, to see a little bit of sand on the beach. Chris and Everett and I had a wonderful time on vacation where we were able to rest and rejuvenate. One of the things that I had the chance to do a couple times was to daydream. I don't know how many of y'all get to do that anymore, but it was kind of fun there for a few minutes. But have y'all ever had those dreams or visions, those daydreams that just seem so real, like you were really in them? I don't know if y'all have or not, but then do they ever come true? Like days, weeks, months, years later? Maybe? I don't know. Sometimes they do for me, so maybe I'm kind of strange like that. But what we see here in Daniel 8 is Daniel having one of those moments. But unfortunately for him, it was one of those moments where his knees got weak, his face got pale, and he was ready just to fall over because of what he saw. In Daniel 8, when we look at the book of Daniel, it's kind of out of the scope of history, right? The first part of the book is very chronological. It starts off with the guys being young and training. Then in chapter 5, you know, Daniel watches Belshazzar have his feast. Daniel 6 is the lion's den. Shout out to Wee Ching, who's back. The Lion King, our Lion King. So when we get past those couple chapters, we kind of go out of time. So to kind of understand where this happens, it happens right between where Nebuchadnezzar becoming a werewolf cow and Belshazzar having his party and then getting taken over that night. So the other kind of interesting thing as we look at this text is the book of Daniel is written in two languages. It's written in Hebrew and Aramaic. So the first chapter of the book basically is all Hebrew. Then it kind of goes Aramaic for a little while, for about 5 or 6 chapters, while it's more talking about kind of the things that are happening in Babylon, where Daniel's working with the kings and the officials. And then as we go into chapter 8, we go back to more, how is this going to affect the people of Israel? And so Daniel goes back into the Hebrew. And so that was just kind of a cool little switch that happens. Daniel's back in his native language, his native tongue again. So Daniel is seeing this crazy vision. The first thing that he sees is a ram, right? Doesn't that guy look cute? Don't you want to go and pet him? So he's got 2 big horns. Imagine seeing that in a dream and trying to figure out what was going on. But what we find out is that that represents Persia and Media, right? They're the country that's going to come in and take out Belshazzar later on in Daniel's lifetime. The Persians are great for the Jews in the sense that it's during their time that the Israelites get to go back to Israel. They get to flourish both in Israel and also where they were planted in Babylon or in Persia. Controlled lands. So the next thing that Daniel sees is a goat. And you know, what a beautiful little goat, right? The kind that you'd pet in the petting zoo, right? Have y'all been there and petted the goats, hopefully? Well, see, this isn't exactly that kind of goat, right? It's got 2 horns. And have y'all ever been around goats for a little while? They kind of like to eat everything, right? Including your homework. Any money you have that might be laying around. I've heard that they eat car parts if you are unlucky. Think of that as this kind of goat, the kind of goat that will just keep headbutting you until you're in pain. Well, that's the kind of goat that comes. And we learned that this is for Greece. And Greece is interesting because it's the one country at that time that came from the west to take control of the Fertile Crescent, of Babylon, of modern-day Iraq and Iran. All the other countries had come from the east. And so when we think about kind of the ruler, the first horn that we kind of get acquainted with, who do you think it is? If you look at this picture, do you know who this is? The next picture here. Alexander the Great. If you go back to, I think it's sixth grade history. Nobody corrected me last service, so I think I'm good. Sixth grade history, we learned about Alexander the Great and all the wonderful things that he did. If you remember right, his reign goes from Greece all the way down through Egypt, through the Holy Land, all the way out to India. His goal was to get out to China and even further, but he unfortunately got sick and wasn't able to complete that as he died at age 32. But the great thing about the kingdom of Greece for the people of God and Israel was that it was a great time where they experienced a lot of freedom. They were able to rebuild the temple during this time back in Jerusalem. They were able to start worshiping God the way that their forefathers had before the exile. But unfortunately, there's another part to the story. Did y'all hear that? It turns into four horns, right? So after Alexander dies, the kingdom is split up four ways because no one was able to kind of have the military might and mind that Alexander did. And so there was the Ptolemies, the Seleucids, and two other leadership groups that took over this whole area. Those are the most common in the biblical area. But after all those happened, one of those folks was that little horn that kept growing, right? And his name was, of course, Antiochus IV. And he wasn't exactly the best thing that happened to Israel. If you listen, it's kind of that story that, you know, you just don't want to see the horn kind of growing larger and larger and becoming kind of more grotesque. But at the same sense, it kind of draws you in. And Antiochus kind of was that way in his lifetime. The interesting thing about this coin is it's one that he had made during his rule. And if you can read Greek, you should be able to read this. And basically what it says is Antiochus Epiphanius, so he's claiming about himself with a picture of himself that he's God manifest. If you look there over on the left side, that's where it talks about that. And basically he thought he was the best thing that ever happened in the world. Whether he was or not, I don't think he was. But basically, what happened during his reign is he took away worship from the temple of God for a long time. 2,300 evenings and mornings is what the text tells us. And so what he kind of did during that time also was he not only took the people of Israel out of the temple, he put a statue of Zeus in the temple in Jerusalem to replace worship of the true God. And who better to represent the image of Zeus than himself, right? So he puts a statue of himself as Zeus so that everyone has to worship him. During his rule, the Jews were persecuted heavily. It's during this time that we learn about the Maccabean Revolt, which is written a lot about in the book of Maccabees, which is in the Apocrypha, which kind of gives us an interesting perspective on this crazy ruler that basically just was trying to get the Jews. So the other interesting thing about him is that when he took the worship out of the sanctuary was in 171 BC. So if you look at his dates there, it's kind of towards the end of his time. And then it was restored on December 25th. Does that ring a bell? 165 BC. So that's about 2,300 days. I didn't have a calculator in South Carolina, so I think the math is correct, but y'all might want to punch that out for me. But the other interesting thing we know about Antiochus is from Josephus. And honestly, it's about the whole book of Daniel chapter 8, which is this great quote. He says, "No prophecy was ever more accurately fulfilled than this." So when we look at the book of Daniel, we can truly see that each part of the prophecy that Daniel gets, this vision, is fulfilled. We see that the Persians and the Medes come in and take over, that Alexander the Great comes in and takes over, that crazy Antiochus comes in and has his reign of terror. So each part is trustworthy and true. So we can see that in terms of the rest of the book, that all these experiences are wonderful to learn and understand, and that they are true. And some of them are things that wouldn't even happen during Daniel's lifetime. You know, Daniel got to experience the Persians and the Medes coming in, but he never got to see Alexander. He definitely never got to see the pain and suffering that the Israelites would face during the reign of Antiochus. But the great thing for Daniel is he kind of gets that second half of the chapter is when Gabriel comes, the angel Gabriel comes to tell him what's going on. Isn't it kind of funny that it's Gabriel, right? Isn't he kind of God's PR man, right? Anytime there's something that big that happens in the Bible, it always seems to become Gabriel as the spokesperson. You know, I was thinking about it, especially the last couple days after I wrote my sermon, and all the press conferences that I've been watching, you know, and I can just see Gabriel up there at the podium with like 100 microphones and being like, all right, this is what it means, Daniel. But Gabriel has such a wonderful role because what are the other places where we see Gabriel? So if we fast forward a few hundred years, we see Gabriel with Zacharias, telling him that his wife Elizabeth is going to be pregnant soon, telling him that John the Baptist is coming. And then you fast forward a couple more days or weeks or months, and you hear the same message to Mary, that Jesus is coming, that God will be with us. You know, it's really interesting as we hear kind of these tough challenges that Daniel faced. He knew the suffering that his people were going to endure. I'm sure that part of the reason why he's weak in the knees was simply because he didn't want to see the people that he loved, even though that would be people down the road, have to face that. The days where they wouldn't want to get out of bed because of the challenges they faced. The time when they didn't want to turn the news on again. You know, maybe that happens in our own lives today. Have you ever come out of a heated argument at work or with your spouse? Gabriel has the same news. God is going to be with us. God is coming. Maybe it was watching all this crazy stuff on the news about Dallas and the police officers a few days ago, where you just don't want to get out of bed or you just want to stay tuned to the TV and try to figure out why this stuff is happening. Well, Gabriel's message is the same for us today, that God is with us, even in the midst of all the suffering, even in the midst of all the pain, God is still with us. He says, this is not the end. I'm coming back with an even better message, that Jesus is coming, that Jesus is coming to bring freedom from the pain of sin, that Jesus is coming to give us hope each day, that Jesus is coming to bring victory and bring new life. You know, Daniel was worn out by this vision that he experienced, all the pain and suffering that he knew was coming. So he suffered with being sick, being exhausted. He wanted to stay in bed. Totally understandable, right? Have you had those moments where you experienced something crazy and just wanted to stay in bed for a little bit? Sometimes it takes a little while to heal. You see, but Daniel knew that God had a plan, that God was using Daniel right where he had planted him, right in Babylon. So Daniel goes back to work for the king. One of the thoughts that I was having this past week, even before all the shootings happened, was when we have those difficult moments, do we take some time to heal and to rest and then get back to work in the kingdom? Or do we struggle and want to stay in bed even a little bit longer? It even applies more as we feel overwhelmed maybe by some of those events of the last couple days. But my hope and prayer for each one of you is that throughout this week, throughout the coming weeks and months and years, that despite whatever challenges or changes come in your life or in the world that you face, that you will rest and that you'll get back up and get back to work in the kingdom, doing the work that God has called you to do. Amen. And now may the peace of God guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.